maybe it might have an effect on somebody's life. That is the word of God. See, and if you don't know the scriptures, you don't know the power of God. You don't know what God will do when you take a stand for God. You don't know. So here we go. Here we go. We said, don't be unequally yoked. Second part, verses 11 through 15. Verses 11 through 15. Here you have the three kings. The three kings get out, and they're out. They decide, Jehoshaphat, they ask Jehoshaphat, which route should we take? Now, they could have gone a straight route, but they decide to go a circuitous route, and they're going to come up on the backside of Moab, and they're going to go through the wilderness of Edom on the backside of Moab, and that's how they're going to kind of sneak up on the Moabites. And the Bible says that they get out there, and they're out there for 7 days, and they hadn't planned on being out quite so long, and they ran out of food and water. They got no water. They have no water for themselves. They have no water for their beast. No water, no victory. No water, you're facing utter and complete defeat. I told you at the start of this, sometimes we find ourselves in bad situations by our own hands. Some of us, we make some decisions. We think it through. We didn't consult God on it, but we thought it through. In fact, we even asked some of our friends, hey, should we do it this way? And they say, hey, sounds good to me. And now we find ourselves out in the wilderness with no provision. No provision. Nothing that will sustain us. And here we are. I mean, we are stuck. We are absolutely, positively stuck. And in verse 10, it reads, the king of Israel says, alas, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together, speaking of himself and the king of Judah and the king of Moab, the king of Edom. The Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 19:3. Proverbs 19:3. I love this. Proverbs 19:3. Isn't this so much like us? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. And it reads, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Explanation? Through our own stupidity, we get out on these limbs. We take ourselves way out on the limb. Now we're suffering. Now we're going down fast. And we say, it's the Lord did this. This is the God. Look what God led me into. That's what the king of Israel is saying. He's saying, God did this to us. Look, God set us up like this. And the Bible says, wait a minute, that's the foolishness of man. God didn't set you up like that. You didn't ask God before you headed out into the wilderness. You didn't ask God before you made that unholy alliance. But now you've made the unholy alliance. Now you're out in the wilderness. Now you're stuck out on a branch. And now you say, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. But the good news is, when you find yourself in a mess, when you find yourself in a mess, somewhere along the line, especially if you're saved, especially if you've been born again, somewhere down the line, you've got to say, you know what? I got to call on the Lord. I'm halfway ashamed because I knew I wasn't supposed to be in this situation. I knew I wasn't supposed to be this far out on the limb. I knew it. And you know what? And I'm halfway ashamed. I'm halfway ashamed. I don't want to call him. I done called on him so many times. And I don't want to call on him. But look at what Jehoshaphat. Look who. Don't forget, Jehoshaphat almost got himself killed with Ahab. But look who come. Look who says what. Verse 11. Jehoshaphat says, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Godly folks, at some point in time, when you find yourself in an absolute, looks like hopeless mess. Is there a prophet? How can I get in touch with God? How can I get in touch with God? Now, this is the part that really blows my mind. You have three kings here. You have the king of Israel, you have Jehoshaphat, and you have the king of Edom. And Jehoshaphat says, is there a man of God around here anywhere? Now, they're in the wilderness. They are in the wilderness. And they said, is there a prophet anywhere around here? And a servant, a nobody, if you will, a servant says, hey, Elisha's right over here. They got the number one prophet of God right there in the midst of them, out in the wilderness. The Bible tells you, you know, when you need help from God, the Bible says he's always nigh thee. He's always close by. Elisha is right there. The man of God is right there. And it took a servant. You got the three kings. The three kings. The mightiest kings on the planet at that time in that nation. And they're like, Is there a prophet anywhere? And the servant says, Elisha is over here. Elisha, the one who used to wash the hands of Elijah, the great prophet Elijah. You know, when they said he used to wash the hands of the great prophet Elijah, he's saying he was his servant. Church, good shepherd, all of us, every last one of us, pastor, teachers, we're servants. We're servants of God. We're all servants of God. And we're all supposed to be able to say to a lost and dying world, I know where Jesus is. I know where you can get the truth at. I know where you can get to. When they're standing up and they're raging and they're going on and on and on about this political situation and that political situation and what are we going about? When they're going on and on and on, some servant of God, and by the way, he puts you and I into those situations. You're going to be around those folks. You're going to be around those folks. You'd have to leave this world to get away from unbelievers. So you're going to be around them. But God expects you and me at some point to open up our mouth and say, I got the answer. I know the way out. I know the way, the truth, and the life. I know him. I know him personally, and I know he died for me, and I know that he says, whosoever, you're talking to your friends now, if you're supposed to be talking to your friends, I know he says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, he goes, he'll fix your situation too, you shall be saved. Y'all, that's good news. That's good news. But what if the servant, when Jehoshaphat said, is there anybody here? Can we find a prophet of God? Is there a prophet of God anywhere? What if the servant had said, I got to have separation of church and state. I am in the army, you know. I can't speak on that because I don't know enough Bible, so I can't speak on that. What would have happened? What would have happened? I don't know, and I'm glad I don't know because the scripture says he did speak up. And my prayer is that everybody here, when that time comes, and it's here now, church, it's here now, I pray that you'll speak up. I pray that you'll speak up. And they said, let's go talk to Elisha. Excuse me, the man who was a servant of Elijah. Everybody, you know, they have all these leadership conferences. For the time the Lord allowed us to first plant Good Shepherd Baptist Church, we have yet to have a leadership conference. And I don't project one anytime soon. Because what we need, we don't need any more leadership conferences. We need servant conferences. Everybody is a leader in his own mind, in his own imagination. But you know what? When you're a servant, you know how come they knew Elisha? What did the boy say? I know Elisha because he was the servant of Elijah. That's how you become somebody in God's economy. You learn how to serve. And then when you learn how to serve, God in his own time will put you into leadership. I don't need to give you a leadership class. You've been to 100 of them. Paid good money to go to some of them, didn't you? best way for me to get some money is to have a leadership conference. I don't know if y'all are going to learn anything from it, but I'll get some money. Okay, I'm sorry. So they say, the three kings say, we're going to go down and meet with Elisha. Isn't that something? Three politicians, the kings of the land, the king of Israel, Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom. And they're going to go down. They're in a situation, and they got to come to the man of God to find a way out. They need to be delivered, and guess what? Nobody in Washington, D.C., nobody on the Supreme Court, nobody in Congress, nobody in the Senate, none of them have the answer. You got to get it from the man of God. You got to get it from the word of God. Because I submit to you, Washington has had their way for a long time. How's that working for you? Until the Church of Jesus Christ decides that the answer is Jesus Christ, we're going to continue to be in this mess. But the three kings come down to Elisha. And I love this. I love this because when I watch preachers, I just like to watch people. And when I watch preachers who really can't say what's in the Bible because they're afraid it's going to offend somebody, don't you understand that the word of God is an offense to those who are perishing? Don't you know that, church? Why are we so overly concerned with offending people who are perishing? What you need to do is you need to give them the gospel so they ain't perishing. Telling somebody that they're wrong, telling somebody that they're lost in their sins, it's gonna make people angry. Made me angry when they told me I was a sinner and I was lost. So why don't you think it's gonna make them angry? It's gonna make them angry. And they're gonna call you judgmental, narrow-minded, bigoted, et cetera. Just say thank you. And give them the gospel. But look at what Elisha does here. Elisha, if he keeps talking like this, he is never going to get a TV ministry. I guarantee you, he is not going to get a TV ministry. Verse 13, Elisha looks at the king of Israel, and look at what he says to the king of Israel. What are you doing here? I'm giving you modern day. What are you doing here? Go back to the prophets of your mama and your daddy. What are you doing here with holy folks looking for holy answers? And the king of Israel said, he insisted. Again, he said, God set us up. God put us out here in the wilderness to deliver us unto Moab and to get us killed. God did it. To which Elisha said, in verse 14, and Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, well, y'all don't miss this. Surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. He said, if you wasn't with a godly man, I wouldn't even talk to you. A preacher said that? A God-called preacher said that? A God-called preacher said it then, and a God-called preacher should say it now. If you want to worship the gods of your daddy, if you want to hang with the heathen, if you want to be with the heathen, then go with the heathen. But he says, because you have shown up with a godly man, Jehoshaphat, that's the only reason that I'm even entertaining you here with us today. Oh, man. I said, man, you just blew that contract, Elisha. Man, your TV ministry is out the window. But Elisha was counting on God for his work and for his word. He said, when God speaks, our next portion, verses 16 through 20, when God speaks, trust and obey him. We have a God who delivers y'all. And when he's speaking, would you please, just read that word and obey that word. We went through, don't be unequally yoked. We went through when you find yourself in a mess. Now we're talking about when God speaks, trust and obey. Verses 16 through 20. Here you still have the king of Israel blaming God for putting him in the situation that he put himself into. No food, no water, and he's out here with all these soldiers, and they're getting ready to get beat because you can't run an army without water. And Jehoshaphat says, bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, verse 15, now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. I think this is such a wonderful thing for the body of Christ. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5:19. In case you couldn't get the feel of what was going on between Elisha and Jehoram, the king of Israel, Elisha really did not like him. Elisha told him to leave, but because he was with Jehoshaphat, he said, I'll talk to Jehoshaphat. And it's like it messed up Elisha's equilibrium or his meditative state. The preacher said, wait a minute, I got something to say, but before I say what I got to say, let me calm down. let me calm down. He said, this man has got my mind tripping. This man is messing with my whole situation. So bring me a musician. Let me hear some music that's going to soothe me to where I can speak on behalf of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, it reads, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're driving down the street. There's this much distance between you and the car in front of you. And the guy on the side of you decided he's got to get off right now. Only problem is your car is in the path where he needs to go to get off the exit. No problem for him. He just cuts in between you and the car in front of you. You need to start singing. Jesus loves me, this I know. Because it's messing with your mind. You're messing with your mind. You go to work. You just step in the door. You're minding your own business. Before anybody even says good morning to you, they come at you and just jump on you with both feet. Somebody comes at you and says something absolutely, utterly crazy. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You need something to calm you down. Because if you don't, somebody gonna get hurt up in here. I ain't always been saved, you know. That's the first thing come out of our mouth when people aggravate us. I ain't always been a preacher. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's what was going on with Elisha. Right here, that's what's going on. Elisha's like, bring me a musician. Let me hear some godly music that's going to settle me down and settle my spirit in. And it says that the musician came and he played. And in verse 15, after the musician played, Elisha had calmed down enough to where now the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him. Now he can speak in a godly manner. Now he can address the situation from a godly point of view. Saints of God, there's sometimes with you and I, there's sometimes when we need not answer somebody immediately. You hear me? You hear that? Sometimes we need to just keep our mouth shut. And to the Spirit of the Lord, he's not coming upon you because he's in you when you say, until the Spirit of the Lord is no longer being quenched. Until you can allow the Spirit of the Lord come out, we just need to I'll get back with you tomorrow. Don't be scared to do that, y'all. Don't be scared to do that. Say, I'll get back with you tomorrow. Because once you say it, you can't take it back. You can apologize and you can do this, but you can't undo it. You can't take it back. So when somebody is juking on your nerves, sometimes it's unwitting. Some people just aggravate you. I mean, that's human nature. The closer you are, the more it rubs you. And then there are those who deliberately and willfully come at you. No matter what the circumstance, I'll get back to you tomorrow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Until the Spirit of the Lord takes you over. And look at what he says. He says, when the Lord speaks, in verse 16, and Elisha speaks, and he says, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley, they're standing by this valley, and he says, make it full of ditches. Make it full of ditches. Verse 17, for thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see, and get this, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites into your hands. Or he will also deliver the Moabites into your hands. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. And it reads, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience. I repeat, to the obedience. To the obedience of God. Look at what took place here. Look at what transpired. The prophet said, you see this valley over here? Now, don't forget, the men are thirsty. The men haven't had any water. They're dying of thirst because they've been out here for 7 days. They don't have water enough for anything other than to go and get defeated. And the prophet of God says, even though you're weary, even though you're tired, even though you're thirsty, I want you to take your men and I want you to go over there. I want you to dig ditches in that valley. I want the whole valley filled with ditches. What? We came here to get some water. Why don't you do like Moses? Hit the rock and let some water come out. What do you mean we got to go dig ditches? We told you we're thirsty, man. What do you mean we got to? God's weapons, our weapons, are not carnal. God doesn't do things the way we do things. He's got a whole different plan of operation. And he said, have some faith. See, before you can expect God to do faith, without faith, you can't do nothing. So what did they do? They went and they dug the ditches. They had faith and they had what, church? Obedience. Say it, church. Obedience. They heard the word of God. There was no mistaking what the word said. And they had what, church? Obedience to the word of God. And I'm here to tell you today, when we purpose in our heart to have obedience to the word of God, and only when you have obedience to the word of God, can you expect, not only can you ask God for something, but you can actually expect him to do it. Asking for what you will and expect it, but understand God blesses obedience. Look at the record. All of his prophets, all of his people. Moses could have never got across the Red Sea. He would have never gotten across the Red Sea except for God said, take that stick and hold it up. And if Moses said, I don't feel like holding it up, he'd still be on the side of the Red Sea right now. Daniel, The king said, don't pray. Don't be praying to any other god. Daniel said, God told me I'm supposed to pray to him. The Bible says that Daniel, with full knowledge as to what was going to happen, he opened the windows up. He faced the east and he started praying out in public, and he knew they were going to throw him in jail. And he said, I'm going to obey God. And when he obeyed God, guess what happened? God delivered him. God came through for him. I'm telling you, there's all. There's always that thread of obedience in every miracle that you see in the Bible. Jesus took mud, he rubbed it on the man's eyes, and he says, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I don't feel like going to wash. That's how we do. Well, this is close enough. You know, I can see halfway good. Go. Be obedient. When the word is clear, obey the word. And when you obey the word, you can expect. I mean, you can just stand there and just wait. Expect God to do something incredible for you. And look at what Elisha says. Elisha says, not only when you do this, not only will you have water, which is no big deal. That's what he says when he says it's a light thing for God. He goes, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Wait a minute. When it rains, aren't you supposed to have some kind of wind? Aren't you supposed to have some kind of storm or something? He said, you ain't going to see no storm. Ain't going to see no rain, no wind. He says, but when you get up, you're going to see water. Y'all got to understand. I'm going through commentary after commentary after commentary. And each one is trying to explain, well, we think that this happened, and we think that that happened. And maybe it was a natural phenomenon because there was water coming down from the grade up. No. No wind. No rain. You know how that water got there? I don't, except for God put it there. Amen. The Bible says that when they got up in the morning, about the time of the morning oblation, the morning prayers, the Bible says that they looked out in the valley. All the ditches were filled with water. Everything they needed, everything that God promised was right there. The water filled the whole valley. And God said, Elisha said, that's nothing. That's a light thing for God, y'all. That's nothing. Not only am I going to give you water, but I'm going to give you the victory. The word for God's saints today, right here, right now. Not only will God deliver you out of the mess that you're in right now, and some of us are truly, truly, truly up a creek without a paddle. Can't see no way out. I mean, deep. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's marital. Sometimes it's interrelational with other people. We're in it. We're deep. God says, not only when you obey me, first when you call on me, call on me. He said, when you call on me, and then when I give you the answer and you obey me, not only will I deliver you from that situation or see you through that situation, but I will ultimately give you a victorious walk on the other side of that situation. See, we are situational people. We just see this far. Don't you see, if you get in a right relationship with the one who knows the end from the beginning, you ain't got to worry about what tomorrow is going to bring because you know who holds tomorrow. So don't be fretting and sweating. Just learn how to obey. Learn how to obey. Learn how to trust and obey. And the last part we talk about in verses 21 through 27, talk about how God delivers. And I'm going to bring you to a quick close here, as quick as a Baptist preacher can. Amen. When they got up that morning, there was water all in the valley. Valley was completely filled with water. Everything they needed, everything they'd asked God for was right there. But I told you before, I said the heathen, God's people look at the situation one way, and the heathen look at the same situation and see a totally different thing. Totally different thing. God's people over here rejoicing, God, man, we got water. You see that? God put water down here. And now the Moabites hear that the three kings are coming after them, and the Moabites muster up their army. They get all their soldiers together, and then they go to the border. And when they get to the border, they look over, yonder at the border, and they say, wait a minute, look. Look down there in the valley. Look down there in the valley. And they saw something wet and glistening. And they said, it looks like blood. This is one of those things that if you know your Bible, if you know the scripture, what's the word Edom mean, y'all? Red. There's red dirt. They're in the land. They're in the wilderness of Edom. The dirt is red. The dirt is red. It's got water on top of it. But the Moabites know it ain't rain. It can't possibly be water. We ain't heard no wind. We haven't seen any rain. It's got to be blood. So the king, the three kings must have turned on each other. They must have turned on each other. See, they're looking at the exact same scenario that God's people were rejoicing over. And they're saying, oh, they killed each other. Let us just go down there and wipe them out. Let's finish the job because they obviously have killed each other. And I want y'all to understand, you say, all this thing is filled with water and they're confusing this water with blood. How much blood were they accustomed to seeing in these battles, y'all? I don't know about these other battles, but I tell you, in the book of Revelation, he says in the Battle of Armageddon, the blood is going to be up to the bridle of the horses. Do you hear me? Y'all know what a horse is. Y'all know how high the bridle. This is the horse's mouth is right here. Can you envision, can you imagine, can you wrap your mind around the fact that during that battle, the blood is going to run through the valley at the depths of the bridle of the horses? If that doesn't make you want to tell somebody about Jesus, if that doesn't make you care enough to get somebody saved, to point somebody to Jesus, I don't know what will. You got friends, you got family members, you got acquaintances that you know they ain't saved. And you won't open your mouth to say nothing to them. You say, well, you know, I don't like to push my religion on people. Let us have a holy boldness. Let us have a holy boldness. The Moabites, they're looking at this whole scenario. And they're seeing, they're thinking it's blood. They go down, and they go down to try to wipe out the Israelites, to wipe out what's left of the Israelites. And then they find out they made a mistake. And the Israelites turn on them and just turn on them with a vengeance and continue to slaughter them all the way back to their towns, to their fenced cities. They lay siege to their fenced cities. And the Bible says that the king of Moab, he decides he's going to do one more try. He's going to try one more time to break through. He takes 700 of his soldiers, and he goes to try to break through the lines of Edom, which would have been the smallest number of troops, and he still couldn't get through there. So the Bible says that he goes back to his fenced city, and he does something. Now, I told you, you're talking about heathens. You're talking about unbelievers. You're talking about people who look at, the only thing they know is what they see. The only thing they know is what they see. Taste, touch, see, feel. If it goes beyond their five senses, they can't deal with it. They can't deal with it. And what he does, what the king of Moab does, is such an abomination. It's such an abomination that it makes everybody recoil. I want you to think about, we're going to read about the king of Moab and what he does. But I want you to think about, during World War II, the Japanese had what they call kamikaze pilots. And it just made the American soldiers recoil to think that somebody would load a plane up with no intentions of ever landing that plane. But they would load a plane up and fly it into an enemy ship and blow themselves up. They're called kamikaze pilots. And people, the American soldiers say, how do you fight an enemy like that? Well, guess what? In 2016, what did you think the first time you heard of people strapping bombs to themselves, strapping bombs to their children, strapping bombs to their young men and their young ladies? It's almost unfathomable for the Christian mind to say, what? What are you doing? What has got a hold of you? The devil has got a hold of you. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. And they strap bombs to themselves. And they'll walk into a pizza parlor. And they'll blow themselves up. And they're not suicide bombers. If you were by yourself and you put a vest on yourself and you blew yourself up, that's a suicide bomber. If you walk into a pizza parlor and you blow yourself up, you're a low-down, no-good murderer. It's not a suicide bomber. That's something that the press comes up with to make you not really feel the effect of what they're doing. They're murdering, slaughtering innocent people. But it goes way back in their history of the unbelievers. It goes way back in their history. The king of Moab took his eldest son and he set him up on the walls of the gate and he set him on fire. The son who was supposed to be the heir to the throne, he put him up on the gates and he set him on fire. And the Bible says this caused all the people who were fighting against him to just recoil in horror. They were, how could you do this? And the three armies kind of split and went back home because they said they had never seen such an abomination where somebody would take his own child who was supposed to be his heir and use him for a burnt sacrifice. Church, when you don't know the one true and living God, there's no telling what you would do. When you don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you may recoil now, but when you find yourself in a situation similar to that, you might do something almost as bad if you don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you find yourself incarcerated in your own mind, nobody else is doing anything to you, but right now you are incarcerated in your own mind. Right now you are shackled by sin. Right now you think there's no way out. I got good news for you. I got good news for you. I serve a God who's a deliverer. I serve a God who, I wish the king of Moab had known him. I wish the kamikaze pilots had known him. I wish that some of the people in ISIS knew him. Because if they knew him, if they know him, they know that there's a way out. If you got that confusion, just like when Jehoshaphat said back in our text, Jehoshaphat said, is there somebody around here who could, is there a prophet of the true God that we can talk to and get the truth? Today, 2016, you don't need to look for a prophet of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9 says to us, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. That means the word is right here. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. What's that word of faith, saints? That word of faith is that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you think there's no way out, if you think there's no salvation for your situation, if you think God has left you behind, I want you to know the word is nigh thee. The word is right in your mouth. The word is right there in your heart. You have access to it right now. You don't have to look for a preacher. You don't have to look for a priest. You don't have to look for a prophet. You have the word nigh thee. It's right there. All you have to do is confess it. Confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. And I'm here to tell you that God will deliver you from evil. God bless you. through his son, Jesus Christ, who God sacrificed his son. The king of Moab sacrificed his son. It didn't do anybody any good. But by one man, Jesus,